This is August the 5th, 2024. Good morning and welcome back to the Basic Bible Study. I'm Pastor George Goins of Macedonia Baptist Church, and I'm glad to be with you again this morning. The Lord is good. He is. I tell you what, we had a great day Sunday, and the Lord was good with us. He was there, and we're thankful. I mean, the Lord's just been good. And you know, I think I've kind of shared some of this to you. I haven't probably given you all the details, but I would covet your prayers today at 1 o'clock. I'll be in Tennessee, and like I said, I'm not going to give you all the details because it's not necessary. And but the Lord knows, and I just covet your prayers. So if you're hearing me today, then at 1 o'clock today, I'm asking that you pray for me and my family. I would greatly appreciate that. So. And then maybe after all this is over with, I'll share with you all that's been going on. But, you know, it's just things that go on in our lives, and they're trials, and a trial's either going to make you better or it's going to set you back. And so I want it to make me better, and my faith to be stronger in the Lord. I know that He can do all things, and I want His will to be done in my life, in my family's life. And I know he can do that. And I don't know about you and what you're going through, but, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart is, Proverbs 3:5-6. We put our trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. I have to remind myself many times because the old flesh wants to doubt. And we can't do that. God is good. He is good, regardless of if it goes the way we want it to go or not. As long as it goes God's way, it's the right way. And we just have to learn to trust Him through that. Like I said, church is going well. We've had a pretty good summer. Of course, you know, we got all of our camp and VBS done in June. July was pretty kind of, not as I say slow, but I don't want to say the word slow, but we just didn't have a lot going on. And August, you know, of course, the kids are getting ready to go back to school. And so, you know, God is good. And folks seem to be coming to church. We've been having some visitors, and we're thankful to have, you know, the visitors come and be a part. And if you're looking for a church, I'd invite you to come visit with us. We'd love for you to come. We have 10:45 on Sunday mornings worship, 9:45 Sunday school if you want to come to that. We have 6 o'clock on Sunday night, which we're doing a Bible study in Acts. And then on Wednesday night, right now we're just kind of in a transition. We just got through with Revelation, and we're trying to get into something as the Lord leads us into a study on Wednesday night. We also have a youth program. We do have kids that come, especially on Wednesday nights, and that starts at 7 o'clock, so we'd love for you to come be a part of that. Good church. People love Jesus. They love people, and a very friendly church, and I'm grateful. Been there for 17 and a half years. That's just crazy, man. It's, you know, how long we've been there, but we love Sherry and I love serving at Macedonia, and we'll be there until the Lord's ready to move us on to something else, you know, whenever that is, that's fine. If we stay there, I'm fine with that too, you know. It's just, I'm excited to be a part of God's family and His plan. I want to do a song. You know, we talk about the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And it is the grace of God. You know, I'm thankful for His grace. I'm thankful that He, you know, He could have wiped me out a long time ago, but He didn't. You know, He was patient with me, and He loved me, and He poured His grace out on me, and He finally got me. He got my heart, and I'm grateful to be able to serve Him, and I'm thankful. You know, His grace. I don't deserve His goodness, but He's good to me. And I'm grateful for that, you know. Got a great family. Got a great church family that I serve with. And like I said, the Lord's good. He is. I just want to honor His name. But this song's Amazing Grace. It's a great song. Y'all know it. And we've sang it many, many times in church. And the words are incredible, you know. And even the testimony of John Newton, who was lost, and the Lord saved him from the miry mud the pit that he was in. And he wrote this song called Amazing Grace. Here it goes. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've known last days to sing God's praise. And when we first begun. Isn't that an awesome song? Man, I'm telling you, I never get tired of Amazing Grace. It's just a great song. It has such good words. A good message, you know. You know, it was his amazing grace that saved a wretch like me one day. I was lost, but, you know, I was found. I was blind, but now I see. And great words. I mean, what a testimony, you know. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed, when you got saved. Through many dangers and toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And then he talks about heaven when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've known less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You know, amazing. It is. It's God's amazing grace. And I think about the verse, John 3:16, which is probably one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's his grace. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't it an awesome verse? You know, it just gives it all to you at one time, right there, just in that little package there. You know, God's word is amazing. It is. And, you know, we neglect it on a daily basis. We don't read it like we should. we don't study it like we should, you know. Even preachers, you know, we can fall in slumps and not study and read like we should the Word, and that's our profession, you know. And but sometimes we do, or sometimes we just read it out of duty, and it's there's no meaning there. But it's important that we read the words and we concentrate and focus on the words that we're reading, and that we digest what the Lord gives us. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, is about the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. I had the honor and the privilege the other day to be able to speak at a Gideon's banquet there in Queen City at the First Baptist Church there. They had several, I don't know, probably 60, maybe 70 people that were there. A number of pastors were there, and it was great to be able to fellowship with them. But we came for the purpose of trying to get more of the Word out, you know. And so I was asked to speak at that engagement, and I was honored to be able to do it. And so this was the message that I spoke that day. And that was on Friday, and Friday night. And I want to share it with you because I think it's important that we understand about the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, you know, there's a number of scriptures that we could read about the Word of God. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, it piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." There's a lot of scripture that we could look at that would help us understand this book, what we call the Bible. Many today would tell you that the Bible is not true, that it's maybe it's just a storybook. It's a fairy tale. But my friends, I will go on record saying that I believe the Bible is truth from cover to cover. Always have. I believe that everything is in here. Just, you know, some people would say, well, you know, men wrote it. Yeah, I agree. God used men to write the scriptures that we have, but it was inspired by God. And there's other scriptures that would tell us about the Bible. Matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what that simply means, it was breathed by God. The words came from His mouth, from His voice. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He did not have a manufacturing company to manufacture light. He didn't have the AI to manufacture light. He spoke it from His voice, and light appeared even before the sun and the moon and the stars. But it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It was given to us by the breath of God, and is profitable. It means it's something that can benefit us for doctrine, which is, you know, to be able to teach others what to believe, because it's in here. It's in the Bible. For reproof, which is to point out error in people's lives, including ourselves. And for correction, which is how do we correct the wrong that we're doing. And in instruction in righteousness, as the scripture says here, which gives us the instructions in how we should live our lives. You know, I've said this many times about the Bible, that every problem that you may have on this physical earth, I believe the answer is in the Word. And we have to find it. We have to get into it. Your financial crisis is that you may be going through, your marital issues that you may be going through, raising children, you know, what we should do in life, how we should live, how we should speak, and how we should look, and all of those things, I believe, is in the scriptures. We just have to find them in the scriptures. The answers are here. He says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And if you look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The problem is that there are those out there that will twist the scriptures and change them to fit their agenda or to fit their lifestyle. And that's not what God is saying here. He says, study the scriptures. Matter of fact, when you read and study the scriptures, if you don't have your toes or your heart stepped on, then you're not interpreting it correctly, because it should. It should show us the way, and it does. It's an amazing book. You know, we ask the question, what is it that the world needs most today? And I think most people, especially if you're in a congregation of believers, would tell you that it's Jesus. And it is Jesus. It's not a party that is going to bring our nation back to God. It's going to be Jesus that's going to do that. It's not anything else except Jesus. But the question is how do we find Jesus? And we find it in the Word of God, which I said, it speaks for itself. You've heard me say that many times here on the radio, that the Word of God speaks for itself. God doesn't need me. The Word can do what it does by just simply people reading the Word. My father, who was years ago, was asked to memorize John 3:16. And when he went home and he began to read it and try to understand it and try to memorize it, the Lord spoke to him, and he knew that he needed Jesus in his life and he would be saved. Because the Word speaks for itself, and it also explains itself. There is no other book on the planet that it can explain the Bible better than the Bible. The Bible is the best commentary on itself, and it also proclaims itself. It's been around a long time. It's been around since the beginning of time, as we know time. It's been around, and it's proclaimed itself. It's still around. You know, and it's still here. And of course, the Word, you know, God said that His Word won't come back void. And it's true. So what is so unique about the Word of God? Well, one, it's alive. We'll talk about that in a moment. It holds the key to eternal life. I gave you John 3:16 and the key to eternal life. Jesus said Himself in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. So it's only through Jesus Christ can we obtain this eternal life. It's only through Him. He told the Samaritan woman that about the water that He gives, a person would never thirst again. He told Mary, one of His friends, that He was the resurrection and the life. You see, the Bible holds the key to eternal life, and it's full of wisdom and principles to live by, as we talked about earlier. So what is our responsibility as believers, as born-again believers? You know, we use the word, and people say, why don't you use the word Christian? And I do use the word Christian, but I try to be careful how I use that word, because a lot of people that proclaim to be Christians, there's no evidence in their life that shows that they are truly Christ followers. And so they tend to take that word in vain. But believers is a word that I like to use, is because it's people that truly do have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're believers, they're followers, they're disciples of Christ. And a disciple is a follower. And then, of course, the name Christian was given to the believers in Antioch. They were called Christians. Why? Because they were Christ followers. And so if you're going to use the term Christian, then do your best to live that lifestyle. And, you know, I just hate that the name is being dragged through the mud because people use it and they don't follow it. You know, I'm telling you, I really do have a hard time with people that call themselves Christians and then look and act and smell like the world. You know, we need to be different. We're Christ followers. So as believers, we do have responsibilities. And one, I think, is important is our prayer life. We need to be praying. We don't pray enough, and we need to pray. We need to talk to the Father. We need to talk to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to talk to the Holy Spirit. And we need to let them know what's on our hearts, even though they know already what's on our hearts. It's good for us to be able to voice that to God and to converse with Him. But that's an important responsibility. But the other responsibility is with the Word of God. Of course, we are to read the Word of God. We are to study the Word of God. We are to digest the Word of God. We are to apply the Word of God. And then we are to live the Word of God. We should do those things. But there's some other things that we can do as well, and that is to present the Word of God. If we look at our text here in Hebrews 4:12, where he says, the Word of God is quick. It is. That word quick actually means it's alive, and it is alive. I've never read a book that is more alive than the Word of God. I've read some good books, and I've enjoyed some of those books that I've read that are, you don't want to put down. You want to just continue to read. You know, the Word of God is more powerful than even that, and it's much more alive. It's alive. It's still been alive for all of these thousands of years that we've had the Word of God. It is the breath of God. We talked about that. It's the thoughts of God for us. It's His instruction for us as believers. And it's the living Word of God. And when Jesus was on this earth, He is the living Word. He is. Not only is it alive, as it says, for the Word of God is quick, but it's also powerful. It's powerful. It's piercing of the soul and the spirit of humanity. You know, when a surgeon goes in and he has to do surgery and he has to connect to a major organ that's in your body, he has to cut through the skin. He has sometimes even go through the bone in order to get to that organ that he has to work on. The Word of God is just like that. It is piercing. It goes through the mind and the spirit of a human being, and it gets to the heart and the soul of a human being, and it's piercing, and it pierces through there, through the mind, the spirit, and the soul. And then it says, and it's sharper. So these three things: it's quick, which means it's alive, it's powerful, it's piercing, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. If you read on where it says here, about it, it's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's sharper. It's like a two-edged sword. It cuts through evil and wickedness. It penetrates the darkness of sin. And the Word is powerful. It is alive, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Revelation 19:15, just as Jesus spoke everything into existence from the beginning of time, Jesus will destroy the nations one day when he comes back on a white horse in his second coming. It says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that two-edged sword that he's referring to, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. So we are to present the Word of God. We need to get it into the hands of people. And of course, you know, the Gideons, that's what they do. They present the Word of God. They get it into the hands of people, not only in the United States, but all over the world. And it's an incredible mission endeavor. And of course, we support them very much. But then we see the second point, which is to preach the Word of God. You know, Paul instructed young Timothy, who he was mentoring, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, in this letter, he says, I charge thee, talking to Timothy, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, which means the alive and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. He's talking about the second coming. And then he says here, he gives some encouraging words to Timothy. Preach the word. preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And boy, do we live in that time today. People do not want to hear the truth because it doesn't fit their agenda. It doesn't fit their lifestyle. They want to hear people who can cater to their lust and to agree. It's just like, you know, just because the nation has made it legalized to do certain sins does not make it legalized with God. It's still against God, and God hates it. But he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We need to be preaching the word of God. We need to preach that hell is hot. We need to preach that heaven is great. We need to preach that sin is, that disobedience to God is sin, and God hates sin, and sin will be punished one day. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need to preach the word when there's opportunity in our churches. Lord, help us that we preach the word in our churches today, in the jailhouse, in the nursing homes, wherever we can, on the street corner, you know, in the highways and the byways. We are to preach the word of God. And we need men behind the pulpit who will preach the word of God with boldness, with strength and power. And then number two, preach the word when there's not opportunity. You know, they've taken the Bible out of our schools. But you know, some schools still allow the Gideons to come in. And I'm not trying to push them, but I'm just telling you what they're doing. Is they're going into places where there is opportunities and when there's not opportunities, and they're presenting the word of God. We need to make sure. And we need to be able to preach the word of God, even in our government, even in our hospitals today where people are suffering. They need to hear the word of God. And then we need to preach the word with authority, with power. We need to reprove, which means point out faults. We need to rebuke, which means to advise against. And we need to exhort, which means to draw them nearer to the one who can help them get through their crisis in life, their sin. You know, I can think of times when I had some weaknesses and I had to depend on the Lord to help me get through them because I couldn't do them on my own, and he did. Let's look at number three because we're almost out of time. Practice the word of God. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must present our bodies unto the Lord. We are bought with a price. That's what the scripture tells us. We are the temple of God, and we're bought with a price. We are to glorify God with our soul and our spirit. And then he uses the word here, holy, which means sacred, set ourselves apart unto God, physically pure, morally blameless. That's what we should be. And then number three, acceptable unto God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I am justified. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I am sanctified, which goes to the next point, through righteous living, being sanctified, being set apart unto God to live a righteous, a physically pure life and a morally blameless life. And then through a close relationship. You know, the scripture says if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us, and he will, and he will. If we just let him come and be a part of our lives. Listen, folks, the word of God's important, and if you're a born-again believer, you need to be reading the word. You need to set aside some time during the day where you can stop. I'm not talking about reading books, complete books. Just read some of the word, just like you would a book. Maybe in the evenings when you get home, you know, just sit down and read, or maybe early in the morning when you get up, just read the word, digest it. Let it be applied to your life and then live the Word of God. The Word of God's important. It's one of the great, you know, it is one, yeah, it is one of the best resources that you have available to you is the Word of God. And then you have God Himself through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God that resides with us as believers who can help us through whatever we go through. I hope this was a blessing to you. And thanks again for listening today. I just wanted to share that with you. It's a great book that we have, the Word of God. Use it, that God can use you for His kingdom. Let me pray. Father, thank you again for the people who are listening today, and I pray that you'll apply your Word into their hearts, just as you've done mine. Bring conviction to our hearts. Prick our hearts, as the Scripture tells us. And Lord, that we will be courageous enough to do something about it. But Lord, just bless. I pray you bless these folks and give them a great day today. And Lord, again, be with us this afternoon, Lord, as we have to take care of the business that we have to take care of, that your will would be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you again. And Lord willing, I'll see you next week.